for it. It's going to send super duper great pictures back compared to the Hubble Space Telescope. But yeah, let me just, we got a few minutes left. Let me just talk about Firefly mission that went up recently. SpaceX is usually the main topic for launches, but you know, there's other companies up and coming, including this one Firefly. I think we'll have to keep an eye on. They're the ones that launched about weeks ago, and they had a successful, you know, launch from the launch pad. But by the time they tried to make the orbit, it was their first flight ever. Company has these Alpha rockets, they call them. And on the bottom of the Alpha rockets, they have four engines. And they're called reefer engines. So these engines, each deliver 40,000 pounds of thrust on each reefer engine, spelled R-E-V-E-R, by the way, engines. So it gives a total of 160,000 pounds of thrust. Got off the launch pad, everything went fine. First stage was going. They found out later, I saw it live, looked good all the way up to, I think, almost 3 minutes. And then they were supposed to separate to the second stage, and that's where it started to lose control. And the ground control had the flight termination system, the FTS, they call it. You know, they put, you know, like C4 on these rockets, and they ignite them from the ground if they're out of control. This way, nothing's left by the time it gets down to Earth. They launched from Vandenberg Air Force Base out in California. They headed due west, which usually, you know, most rockets, they either launch over the pole or they launch due east. Since it was going from California, they didn't even want to launch south because, you know, they're afraid of some debris if it blows up going out, you know, near LA or something. So they just went due west, and it was going good, but it failed. It turned out this reefer engine, one of the four 40,000 pound thrust engines, failed early, like after 15 seconds of launch. You couldn't see it, you know, with all flames and everything coming out of the bottom, but they figured out with the telemetry and with their super duper cameras that they do use, you can see it, you know, the one was like a flame out. Didn't have enough thrust then to or control. I mean, it was the other three rockets, they have gimbal controls so they can control the attitude, so the computer was doing a good job of that until they got to maximum Q. That's the highest area where the flight speed versus the pressure of the atmosphere are max. The max, they call it max Q, and they lost control at that point. The vector controls on the other three reefer engines weren't good enough. And they lost it, but I think, because they know exactly what happened, one of the valves closed unexpectedly. It's not like the engine itself broke, but the fuel was throttled down unexpectedly on the one engine. So I'm sure they, with that information, they'll correct it. They have another Alpha rocket ready to go, so I'm sure they'll make adjustments and eventually put that one out on the same launch pad and do the same thing all over again. This time I think they will make it to orbit. I mean, you know, they're pretty good. Most new companies don't get off the launch pad. You know, they'll blow up on the launch pad or something, or they'll abort, you know. They'll just sit there and, you know, find out some, you know, electronic thing failed. But, you know, idea is to drive the price down, and I think they'll be able to do that. They're working on another rocket, a much bigger rocket called Beta. Right now they'll be happy to get the first smaller rocket off the ground. But, you know, it could give other companies like SpaceX competition for putting relatively large satellites in space, you know, over a ton for this one once it gets operational. once Beta gets operational, we'll be able to do probably 10 times that amount. Any comments or questions? About time, or a little after 11. This is WS2N for the SpaceNet report. Nothing heard. Okay. I'd like to thank everybody who stood by and listened, and everybody with questions, and we'll be back next week, hopefully, to continue on. Tomorrow's Monday, we'll try to make it to the ClubNet, which starts at 8:30 on these repeaters. That's followed by Swap and Shop if you want to buy or sell anything. And then that usually is followed by Newsline. So we'll do that. Hey, by the way, you don't have to be a club member to check in, of course. And we'll turn it over to Roy right now at AC2GS, WS2N. Back to you, Roy.
Yes, indeed. This is AC2GS. Thank you, Paul, for the SpaceNet report, for all that you do for us here at the TechNet and for the club in general. Thank you very much. I want to thank everyone who participated tonight. You guys make or break these nets. You don't want to hear me rambling on and on and on. I want to remind people, because I didn't have an opportunity earlier, if you can't get to me on the radio and you want to email me either with a question for the mailbag, a topic for discussion, a puzzle to share with the rest of us, or to ask Paul to take a look at something, the email address to reach me is mailbag@ac2gs.com. Again, mailbag@ac2gs.com. I have a link page with loads and loads of links, and I even added more of them as the TechNet continued. Wesley asked me why, with electrostatic voltage potential differences, we don't get electrocuted. There's a very nice article on the link page where you can look at the illustrations of what's going on there. As always, I keep a audio stream of the repeater, so if you don't have a radio ready, your antenna isn't working, you could just dial in with your browser, type in technet.ac2gs.com, and you can listen to the audio stream. And of course, remember that MyKC2NJI has a great archive of technical nets going as far back as 2006, September. That's at amateurradio.tv. Let me drop for a second, and I'll be right back. Okay, doke. As always, I like to end this these technical nets in many ways, like Dick, K2RIW, did. He often had some variation of be signed to each other. I think that's always good advice, especially good advice these days. We have to take care of ourselves, our family, our friends, our neighbors, and they have to take care of us. This is a joint effort. You can't go it alone. I don't care how many flags you have that says, don't tread on me. This is a group effort. So please, be smart, be safe. If you haven't been vaccinated and you can be vaccinated, please get vaccinated. Please have your friends, family, neighbors, etc. be vaccinated. Please maintain the social distancing that is recommended by public health individuals. Be smart about this. You know, this is no time to show that you're a free human being. Anyway, I want to thank everyone once again, and for those people observing Yom Kippur that's coming up this week, I wish you have an easy fast, and for the rest of you, I wish you have a safe and easy week. Be well, everyone. You know, have fun. Enjoy the hobby. If you're not having fun with it, you're doing it wrong. So this is Alpha Charlie 2 Golf Sierra. I am formally finishing up and closing the technical net for this week, and I am officially clear. Until next time. Thank you very much, Frank. The same to you and yours.
Hey, have a good week.
Thank you. Likewise, Frank. Be well.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W.
The time is 12:04 a.m. 73, and good night from the W2VL repeater. The time is 12:04 a.m. 73, and good night from the W2VL repeater. Net tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W. Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the WGL repeater. Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the WGL repeater. Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W.
This is the W2VL repeater. Good morning. The time is 5 o'clock a.m.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the WGL repeater. Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the WGL repeater.
W2VL.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W.
W2VL.
Wayne, KD2UDU, you out there? KD2. No copy, we're clear.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W.
W2. W2.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W.
W2VL.
KC2VST Mobile listening. Kilo Delta 2 Whiskey India Whiskey testing from Hicksville on Echo Link for the first time. Radio check.
IW, KC2VST, Kilo Charlie 2, Victor, Foxtrot, Papa. Coming in, about maybe a 5 out of 10, little noise.
Copy that. I'm on iPhone, I'm at work right now, so I just wanted to test out the Echo Link app. And I'm expecting it to be a little noisy, so. Anyway, thanks for responding. Where are you transmitting from?
Northern State Parkway. I'm about maybe a mile and a half, 2 miles west of the repeater. You're holding, but not perfectly. You've dropped maybe twice in that last transmission, but I can make out what you're saying.
All right, well, copy that. Thank you for responding. And I'm at work, so I'm going to get going. So, talk to you later. Have a good rest of your day. KD2WIW, clear.
73, KD2WIW, KD2 Gate Control, clear and standby.
fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the WGAL repeater.
W2VL.
82BCQ listening. 82NSJ. 82BCQ.
KD2MJR,
KD2VCQ. KD2NSJ, KD2VCQ. KD2VDW, KD2VCQ. KD2VCQ, can I get a radio check, please?
I missed the call sign, but radio check, you're hitting the repeater fine. Full quieting, K2SDP.
K2SDP, KD2VCQ. Thank you very much. I appreciate the comeback. Just trying a new antenna. 73, this is KD2VCQ, and I'm standing by.
At that time, VCQ, KD2SDP, I'll be clear.
Thank you.
trouble, my neighbor?
Yeah, it's his tree. He's responsible for the safety, the health and safety of the tree. The tree's not safe. He's supposed to do something to make sure it's safe. And if he doesn't, he's liable for any damage it causes.
Well, unfortunately, it's my tree, but it, you know, it's growing over his property. So, if he holds me liable, I'm just going to tell him, say we're here, you didn't let him take it down.
Misunderstood you. I thought you said it was his tree growing into your yard. It's actually your tree. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, it's this giant oak, and every time, you know, we get heavy winds, another big piece comes down. Actually, last year, it took down telephone lines. I'm surprised it hasn't taken the power out yet.
Yeah, that's not a happy situation to have that over your head during storms. Maybe you're lucky. Maybe most of the weak branches are already gone, and all that's left are strong branches. I kind of wish I had a nice oak tree around here. I could throw a wire up in it.
Into YYC. That's what I have on the other side of the yard. Of a G5 RV antenna going from the front of the house to a big tree in the back.
That's nice. I live in an HOA, so I mean, my dual band, I got squared away with that ladder wire behind the plastic siding corner. The other, what I use for HF is I actually bought an alpha antenna. They call it a MIL-2O antenna, and it's actually pretty good. I'm sitting here, I'm making 4 15-foot radials for it right now as we speak. I have it on a tripod, so I put it up when I want to use it. I put it up, it takes me 5 minutes to put up, 5 minutes to take down. I hit South America and Europe regularly with it. My best contact through it was South Korea.
Oh, very nice. So, okay, it goes on a tripod and then it has radio wires coming out. How big is it?
That's a portable mast, a 9-foot portable mast that screws into the top of a match. And then I got the radios coming out the bottom of the match and the coax, and that is all attached to the top of a mast on a tripod, which goes up about 8 feet.
How long does it take you to set up?
10 minutes.
Okay, very good. Have you been on lately? I don't know. I turned HF on a couple of times this summer. Not much going on.
Because I actually volunteered for the Air Force Military Auxiliary Radio Service. I'm still working on that. I was able to monitor the net for the Air Force, but I wasn't able to actually transmit to them. I could hear them, they could hear me, but we were down in the noise, so I couldn't get through to him very clearly. I'm hoping with these four radials that will really improve it, because he's up in White Plains. So he's kind of long for a short hop, and he's kind of far, he's kind of close for a long hop. We try to use NVIS, so I'm hoping that now that I have these radios on it, I'll be able to clear up some of the noise, get a better situation, and I'll be able to communicate with him. Because my being part of the Mars program is actually predicated on me being able to communicate with them.
Okay, very good. I've heard of Mars, but what are they passing traffic, or what do they do?
It's backup communications. The Air Force has one, the Army has one. It's backup, non-secure backup communications for the Air Force and the Army. The secure communications we wouldn't handle. We only handle the non-secure.
So when do they put them in use?
Well, the Air Force has a net every day at 7 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. They have that Monday to Friday. And I guess if there's ever need for backup communications, they activate the net.
So has that happened in recent times?
Can't answer to that because I've only been trying to get involved with them for the past month. I do not know historically. I would imagine it would be during times of high traffic or perhaps conflict.
Oh, I think natural disasters also. Anyway, I'm down at the beach. Nice talking to you. Good luck. You're hitting the antenna, and catch again in 2YYC.
It's been a pleasure, N2YYC. This is KD2VCQ. Say 73. Have a great day, and I'll be standing by.
Originally, when I was using that Baofeng 8-watt, I had bought an emergency ladder line, 300-ohm ladder line, and I'm actually talking through it right now. It's flat. You know ladder line. It's flat. Our vinyl siding has corner pieces, has 2.5-inch corner pieces on it, and the ladder line fits perfectly underneath it. And I'm talking to you through it right now. You could be standing a foot away from it, and you would not see this antenna.
Let's hope that the HOA doesn't realize that they're out to get you now.
If they could combine all of their brains into one, they wouldn't stand a chance against me.
I'm surprised that made you take down the diamond. I mean, it didn't seem intrusive at all. They're a bunch of jerks, apparently.
They sent a letter. They responded to my attorneys. So my attorneys called me Friday. I missed the call because I was with my cardiologist, who, by the way, said my heart's never been in better shape. And he was actually really thrilled to see it. But anyway, I missed the phone call, so I got to call into her today. I'm waiting for a call back to see what we can do about it.
Yeah, I'm glad, you know, that the loyalty keeps them manners.
Doesn't matter. They could pull all the nonsense that they want. I could afford to live, and I can live well despite their nonsense. They're a flea on an elephant's butt as far as I'm concerned. And I put this ladder line up. I'm going to leave it there under the vinyl. I'm able to hit 98% of the repeaters that I can hit through the X30A. I can hit that East Coast repeat. Reflector. I can hit the Northeast repeater. I can hit the St. Lawrence repeater. So I can cover all of New York State up to Canada, out to Buffalo. I can hit overseas with the UHC repeater, the East Coast reflector. And I just finished building 4 15-foot radials for my HF radio antenna, that portable one that I put up on a tripod. I made 4 15-foot radials and attached it to the base, so it's all set to go. I can put it out in about 10, 15 minutes, and hopefully that's going to make it, I'll be able to communicate with the AF bars if I can. If I can't, then I can't be part of that program. I'd be sorry about that, but I can hit 98% of my repeaters, and the HOA won't have a clue. I'm happy.
Roger, Roger. Well, you should definitely try and get on HF, but last night, it was phenomenal. I mean, the propagation. I heard Alaska and I heard Hawaii. Unfortunately, they were talking to somebody who was, they had the other person had the frequency, so I couldn't butt in and talk to them, you know, because Alaska and Hawaii, you never hear them. And I heard them clear as a bell. So, propagation is definitely getting much, much better.
Awesome. Actually, I was talking to Lisa this morning. I was laughing. The funny thing is, I built that 40-meter dipole when I first got my license, and I put it up. It's still up. You know the one where I put the wires under the vinyl siding? That thing is still up. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw a coax on that, hook that to my HF, and test it, see if it'll tune it. if I can use that. I got a 40-meter dipole out there. That they, I mean, it's that big white capsule. They haven't even seen it. They haven't even noticed it. And I got 30-foot wires coming out. He's just buried under the vinyl. I'm not saying a thing. If it works, I got a 40-meter dipole that's there permanently.
Great, George. Hopefully they won't, you know, if you hook the coax up to it, hopefully they won't notice. Maybe you should try and buy some white coax, you know, maybe some black that puts them in as it's an antenna.
The center hub of the bipole, where the antenna on the coax attaches, happens to be right over the left side of my screen door. So when I first hooked it up to try it, I actually ran the coax under the trim of the door. So you can't even see it.
All right, so it's definitely going to escape their attention, that's for sure. I'm happy for you, George.
I've been up there since practically day one last December. I'm actually enjoying it even more now because they've done all they could to stifle me, and I'm on the air, and then... oh, excuse me. And they don't have a clue, which is making it 10 times as sweet for me. Because they think they're making me miserable, and I'm sitting there laughing at them.
Thing, that's what they want. They want to make you miserable. They don't care about the antennas. They're not intrusive. They're just trying to stick it to you. Well, I'm glad it's not working.
I bugged them because I beat them in court twice already. I beat them in court twice, and I do things, I outsmart them. I do things that are not violations of the rules, and they don't like it, but they can't do a damn thing about it, so it drives them crazy. So now this thing with the antenna, they're saying, well, you're not allowed to have an antenna. The only thing I ever remember hearing or seeing is that you couldn't have a dish antenna, specifically a dish TV antenna. You couldn't put that and mount that to your wall. I remember that. I don't remember anything else in the house rules or the bylaws about antennas. So I'm going to tell my lawyer, hey, listen, I want to see the rule that says that I can't do it, because I'm 99% positive there's nothing that says I can't. So I'm going to go after them full throttle now, if it makes sense. If she tells me you got a good shot, because they told me there's a load of case law on this, if she tells me I have a good shot of winning it, I'm going to go after them full bore.
Good. Maybe you got money back on, you know, the antennas that you bought trying to them.
Wayne, I believe in live and let live. That's the way I was raised. You know, what's good for you is good for me, and, you know, as long as you're not hurting me. But if you come after me and try to hurt me, all bets are off. You better watch your butt. Pull out your medical card, because you're probably going to need it.
And that's only right, though. They think that they're immune to, retribution, but, I'm sure your lawyer's going to stick it to him. I hope she does, or he, or he said she, and he does.
At this point, that would just be icing on the cake, because like I said, right now, I'm talking to you and chuckling, because they don't have a clue. They think that I'm sitting in here crying and miserable, and I'm sitting here talking to you and enjoying my morning.
It's a great thing. So how was your weekend? You didn't cook that pork yet, did you?
No, not yet. We got a ton of food in there. I will get to it. We've been making a lot of soups lately. They're really good, and they're actually extremely healthy. Today, I'm planning, oh, my sweet Lisa has chicken out, but I actually have some, I'm making sweet potato soup this week. It has green apples, ginger, shallots, sweet potatoes, and chicken stock.
Wow, very nice. Yeah, I wish I could tell Lisa how to cook that. I haven't cooked the steaks yet. I ran out of roast. That's why I mainly got roast, and like the one that you had, and I cooked several of my own. So steaks, I wouldn't grill them, but really can't tell you what's the best way to do them though.
QWIX,
BCQ, and KD2UDU. How you doing, Vic?
I'm good. How about yourself? Did you have a good weekend?
I actually, I had a horrible weekend. I got a letter back from there, the co-op's attorney, the HOA's attorney, in response to the letter that I sent, that I had my lawyer send them, and they're adamantly against it. So I took my antenna down, but actually, I was just telling Wayne, I actually have an emergency antenna. They call it on Amazon. It's 300 ohm ladder line that actually fits under the corner of the vinyl siding on my unit, and I'm talking to you through it right now, and it hits 98% of the repeaters that I was hitting with my Diamond X38, so I'm actually a happy man because I'm talking to all my friends, and they don't have a clue.
Wow, that's us. How are they fighting? Hopefully everything goes on your side. And how about you, Wayne? How was your weekend?
Were you talking to me? I just started my car up. This is KD2UGU. I'm going to have to go back into work in like 2 minutes.
Okay, well, hopefully have a good day then, Wayne. This is KD2WIS.
I was just telling George that the propagation was really phenomenal yesterday. I don't know if you've been on HF at all.
Thank you for them again. Vic, it was really good talking to you. This is KD2VCQ, and I'll say 73, and I'll be standing by.
All right, George, 73. And I haven't been on HF, so I don't really know how the propagation is. I know last time I was trying FT8, though, I was able to get all the way to California on 20 watts, so I wouldn't be surprised if everything's opening up now.
Yeah, I heard California very clearly yesterday. I also heard Hawaii and Alaska extremely clear. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to contact them because they were talking to someone else who was working the frequency. That's what I had just been telling George. So he has to set up his portable antenna out on the lawn to do HF.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same situation myself. Usually, if I want to play with HF, I need to set up my portable antenna usually. So that's the unfortunate part about not having like a permanent solution is every time you want to play with HF, you need to go and set everything up.
Alright, I'm going to wish you guys 73. I got to head in, unfortunately. So this is KD2UDU, and I will be clear. So Vic, George, good talking to you both. Have a good day.
Hi, Wayne. You too. Have a good afternoon. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Have a good afternoon. This is KD2WIX, and I'll be clear. 73, Wayne. 73, George.
73 right back at you, Vic. You have a great afternoon. I'll talk to you soon, my friend.
W2OSR.
W2. Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2.
Kilo Delta 2 Whiskey Indy Whip.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W.
W2.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W.
W2.
Mobile.
W2.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2.
Work and shebang, there we go. And then my next project after that is I want to get a Generac generator, gas-fired. I have natural gas, and they did give me a larger delivery pipe. They were working in the street about 2 years ago when I approached them and told them my plans, and they said, well, it's convenient because we got the street ripped up. We'll drop you a new line, and they did that no charge, so I got lucky.
All right, two items. Item number one, is that, does it involve the use of the phrase heat pump? And item number two is yes, if you have gas, natural gas, and you want to put in a generator, that can be a wonderful thing. Because the big problem with gasoline generators is when things go bad like they did after Hurricane Sandy, you can't get fuel for the generator. So yeah, if you have natural gas, it's the odds of that being a problem are far smaller than not being able to get to a gas station and buy gas. All right, I'm at the supermarket, so I have to finish this up. I try to address my two items.
Okay, very quickly. No heat pumps involved. It's a traditional gas furnace. I didn't get the high efficiency, but I got the regular one. And so there's no heat pump involved, natural gas, and we have an evaporator on top of the furnace and a condenser to go outside, and we should be all set. Happy shopping. Catch you later. WB2EAV, Mobile NY2H, Mobile.
Let me just say this. I know you are intelligent. I know you research stuff. But the thing now seems to be to use a heat pump for air conditioning and cool but not bitter weather heating, and then transfer over to oil or gas when it gets really cold. Enough said. A word to the wise is sufficient. With that, I'm going to the supermarket. You enjoy. WB2EAV.
73.
WWD, this is KD2WTU. How are you this afternoon?
Hey, what's going on? I could be better, stuck in the worst traffic known to New York life, I guess.
Where are you? I started taking the train months ago because of that exact reason.
I'm on, what is it, the Bell Parkway. It was fine, I mean, leading up to, I guess, the first day where I guess everyone is back. Work.
Yeah, the train, the station, everything was packed this morning. All the teachers are back. I think the teachers started last week, but today is the first day with all the students back and everything. So I think everything's all screwed up today. Yeah, that was what I usually took to get home every day. I took the Belt to the Southern State, and it just got to the point where it was so miserable I started taking the train.
I've tried taking the train, and to me, it's even more miserable taking the train. I can't. I don't want to be around people.
I'm actually really happy that the masks caught on. I mean, for years, I was thinking, you know, oh, man, I should really be wearing, like, a respirator in this train, because some of the people in there, man, they're super gross.
I can imagine. Last time I was on a train, oh, man, I think it was 2000 and... 17, 15, somewhere around there.
You're not missing much. They have the newer trains now. They have the new train cars, the M9s. They're a little nicer. They're a little more of a smoother ride. They're a lot quieter, too, but, yeah, you're not missing much. Still the same railroad.
Yeah, still nasty, still gross, still smells. No thanks.
It's kind of hit and miss now. They go through the train cars with almost like a bug fogger. It's like a Ryobi branded cordless tool. It's like a fogger, and I guess they spray disinfectant in the train. So it's kind of hit and miss. Every now and then you'll get a train that smells like good old New York. Every now and then you'll get a train that kind of just smells normal, like sanitizer smell to it.
Oh, great. More in the air, mixing with the funk.
Sounds like you have a pretty new call sign. I forget what it was, KD2WD, or WX something. I mean, I'm WDU, so you must have gotten yours. You're just a couple of letters behind me.
Yeah, I'm KD2WWD. I got mine, I'm going to say 3 weeks ago. No, I don't even remember anymore. 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago.
Well, congratulations. I got mine at the beginning of, I think it was the beginning of August I got mine. I took it online with Park Radio. I think it was Pacific Amateur Radio Club, something like that. I think they were out in Wisconsin or something like that, or maybe like Nevada.
My buddy got his through Alaska a couple weeks prior to me. We were supposed to be studying together, but I guess he started getting too antsy and just decided to take all three tests pretty much back-to-back, so he's an extra now.
Wow, he went right to extra. Good for him. I just studied for the technician. I got the technician, and, you know, that was cool for a couple of weeks. Now I have the bug to, go in to get my general at least. So I'm studying for that now. I'm going to go for that. What did you do? You just took the technicians, or you blew through everything else as well?
No, I just took the technician, and I actually am starting the general, but I'm so exhausted with studying that I'm like picking up the questions and then putting the phone down.
Yeah, I don't have the brain for it anymore. You know, it's been so long since I've been in school, and you know, I'm a plumber, so it's not like, you know, besides a couple of code changes every year, I don't really have to study anything for my day-to-day job, you know. So I didn't have the brain for it. I just about got the technicians, and that was cool. So, you know, then I decided to focus on the general. I'm up to, like, I'm probably getting, like, 80%, 85% on the practice exam. But what I did was I ran through the question pool, like, once, and then I just took some practice exams, and then I took it. And so that seems to be like you're doing the same thing.
Yeah, I'm pretty much doing the same thing. I went through the study questions and like one time, and then started taking tests after test after test.
Yeah, very cool. Welcome to the hobby. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. I've been enjoying myself so far. It's cool. It's one of those hobbies where the basic information that you need to pass your test, it's only so little in the grand scheme of things, especially when you start looking towards HF, all this crazy stuff about, you know, building your own antennas and all this wild stuff you can do, all the digital modes, it's crazy, but it's cool. It's like one of those hobbies where you can have fun learning your way up it. KD2WTU for identification. Let's try that.
It's still a little rusty on that call sign. KD2WWD.
You got it. Exactly. You know, sometimes. It was funny, man. I went to a club meeting in Eisenhower Park, and you know, a couple of the guys were like, "Oh, you know, jump on HF. You can use the club call sign." And man, it's so funny, right? So you just pick up a microphone to talk. I was terrified. I'm getting tongue tied and everything. You know, I'm like, "Oh my god." You know, what do I say? They're like, "Give the signal report." I'm like, "Oh no, I forgot to give the guys the signal report." It's funny, but you get the hang of it.
Yeah, for the most part, they're simple. My call sign is, like, a little rough to kind of say. I always have that pause in there.
I guess that's part of the fun. You know, after a while, you kind of figure out, like, a cadence, almost, of how to say your call sign. You know, it's funny, especially me. I still have the new ear to everything, so it's hard for me to pick out calls. It's getting easier, but it's hard for me to pick out call signs. So it's funny, you know, when you're talking to somebody and they come through with their call sign, it's just like, yubba-dubba. It's like, wow, I had no chance of getting that.
Yeah, I'm not new to, like, the whole radio gear thing, but call sign was kind of new, so I had to write it down, and every time I was going to say my call sign, I had to look at it.
Yeah, absolutely. I cheated. The first couple of times that I would pick up the mic on the radio, I asked, like you said, I wrote my call sign down on the top of a sticky note, and then as I was talking to people, I would write their call sign down and everything, you know, because it was just impossible to keep it in my head. But now, you know, I'm getting a little better at it, so it's a fun hobby.
Yeah, I enjoy it. It gives me something to do when I'm in the car. I just recently bought the Anytone. I forget which model, but for the a mobile radio. So that's going to be fun installing it.
Yeah, that's probably what I'm talking to you on right now. I have the 25 watt, the Anytone. I think it's the 878, I believe the model is. It's whatever, like you said, the mobile rig from Anytone is the 25 watt one. It seems to work pretty good. I mean, the Glen Oaks repeater that I'm talking to you now on now, it's about 10 miles away from me right now, and, you know, 25 watts, it seems to get there. I have a Nagoya magnet mount antenna stuck on the roof of the car. I think it's a Nagoya 87 or something, and that seems to work pretty good.
Yeah, I'm on a handheld right now on a Radiodity, a CD77, and I got one of those magnet-mounted antennas on top, so it works. It's, you know, my house, I can reach the repeater out of the way.
Yeah, man, whatever you're doing, it sounds great. You're coming through crystal clear. I can understand every word that you're saying. That's great for, I guess that radio's, what, 5 or 8 watts? But you're coming through great. You sound pretty good, especially where you are, too. The belt of Southern State, that's dug out a little bit, so you're not exactly high up, but you're doing great coming through the repeater real clear.
Oh, good, good. I don't know if it's on my end, since it is a handheld, but you're a little scratchy.
Yeah, that's me. I was just down on the South Shore. I just drove up from the South Shore while I was talking to you. So there's a bunch of buildings, the railroad's in the way, you know, all that kind of gets in the way, and I am only doing 25 watts out of here, so the scratchiness was probably all me. Well, alright, I just got to my driveway, KD2WWV, it was a pleasure talking to you, nice to meet you. This is KD2WTU, and I will be clear on your final. Have a good day, and good luck with the traffic.
Thank you, and have a good day yourself, KD2.
Yes, I do. HT on.
Alrighty, I'm at the Selden site. Yes, on the TechNet last night, Echolink was coming in with some noise. Apparently, we're using a Link radio to accommodate the Echolink. So what I did was, I saw it was sitting on top of a switching power supply, so I put a little space between it and the power supply, and it looks like all that hash and noise went away. So I did my good deed for today. Now I'm going to go out to eat. Thanks, Jim. Thanks for the report. Standing by.
WD280.
Roger that, Lou. Yeah, it sounds great now. And I think there was another call in there. Go ahead.
WB2EAV.
WD2EAV, this is KD2FHI. Lou, I think, was going to get something to eat. He's not there.
Damn, I wanted to give him a little sticker that says good boy because he did his good deed for the day. Failing that, how are you today? By the way, it's WB2 Bravo to Echo Alpha Victor.
Yep, roger, roger. Yeah, I'm good. I'm very good, thank you, actually. I was up hunting this week, past weekend, and unfortunately we didn't see any furry things other than deer, and it's not deer season, so the big black ones did not come around, and kind of made for a disappointing weekend, but we all still had fun. It was a bunch of guys together, and we'll have fun in spite of ourselves.
Was this bear hunting, and if so, where?
Yeah, this week, from this past Saturday to next Sunday, is the early bear in the southern tier. So I was up in 3H, which is Ellenville, Napanock, and all that. And so you can do some early bear up there.
I understand. But sometimes the thing of getting out into the woods with some friends is by itself 90% of the fun. Depends. You know, some avid hunters might not agree with that, but I think the average hunter is 50-50, and some it's 90% getting out in the woods with friends. You know, the old adage, you ask a fisherman what you're doing, and he says, drying worms. There's more truth to that than most people realize.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had just, you know what it is? You're out there. I mean, it's like playing army when you were a kid as an adult. And you're out there, you got a rifle, you got a pistol on you. You're in the woods. There's a chance that something could come by, and you can shoot it and eat it, and, you know, all's the better. And unfortunately, this weekend, it was too hot. That was the problem. It just got to be too warm. So Saturday morning, it was 48 degrees, and I walked up this big mountain and froze my tail off. And then in an hour's time, it jumped to 60 and then 75, and I was soaking wet with sweat. And if I'm dying, I can imagine a big black bear is going to be dying, too. So, you know, he wasn't going to be out in this.
Well, they were in a fur coat, you and I.
That's very true. That's very true. They come out at night. They're really night creatures. You'll get them in early morning or early evening, still at the end of the light hours. Unfortunately, I'm surprised Saturday morning I didn't see it. I saw him on my camera. He was there. I just didn't, you know, he didn't come out when I was standing out there.
Of course not. You realize he's tracking you on your GPS.
Oh, they know. It's like deer. They know. The Friday before opening day, you'll see them all over the place. Last time I went hunting up in Deposit, which is where I usually go on opening day for deer, I'm walking along, you know, spraying some estrus around to track the bucks. And behind this hedgerow, 10 feet in front of me, this 8-pointer pops his head out. And we're both looking at each other. I didn't move, he didn't move, and then he must have caught wind of me, and he realized that I'm not of his ilk, that he then just took off in a big whoosh. And then that was it. That was the last time I saw a deer that opening day weekend.
And yeah, yes, what do you expect?
Nothing else, really. In the last few years, the hunting's been a bit light. Most of us haven't gotten a deer in the last few years. I don't know what to attribute it to. I know the bears are, their population is getting larger. That's why we had this, they've had this early bear hunt for the last couple of years. And they're getting the young ones. And the older ones, you know, when they get harvested, there aren't too many young ones following up. So the population is taking, there's still a ton of deer in New York, but it's taking a hit in a few of our areas.
Well, this summer, obviously this was nothing to do with any hunting environment, but it seems that a Boy Scout camp for a while, and there the idea is to coexist with the bears to keep it warm and friendly and not hostile on either side.
Well, the bears do eat the deer, and they usually go after the young ones or the does. The bucks get away from them too. They're fast. I mean, a yearling will get away from a deer. I mean, from a black bear. But the younger ones, no, because they know to stay. That's what happens. The mothers teach them to bed down when there's danger, and they get it. And typically, a doe will have two in a birthing, and usually one survives. The other one gets caught either by coyote or bear, or, you know, that's what they are, sickly.
Look at the bright side. Look at the education you're getting in wildlife management.
That is true. I just love being in the woods. If I get a deer or not, it's disappointing, but it's not going to wreck my weekend. I have a fun time. It's refreshing. I love being in the air, out in the air, and the smell of the woods, and no trains, no planes, no trucks, no subways, no crazy drivers. It's just peaceful, very, very peaceful. It's so peaceful, I hear the ringing in my ears. That's how quiet it is.
Ah, yes. Yeah, I understand. No, I spend a lot of time in the woods myself. I'm not a hunter, but I know so many hunters that I probably could lie and pretend I was one and get away with it, like I'm doing with you. I mean, I'm a target shooter, not a hunter, but I just enjoy getting out in the woods without anything like that.
Yeah, it's healthy, actually. It's very healthy to do it. It's great for your stamina. It's great for your head, mentally. It's a healthy thing to get out there in the woods to walk around.
Oh, absolutely. There's nothing like it. I really enjoy it. No, I spent 2 weeks in two different Boy Scout camps. You know, 1 week in one week in the other this summer. And I got a chance to get chased through the woods by Boy Scouts carrying axes.
Okay. That sounds like fun.
In all seriousness, well, I wasn't herding cats. I was helping teach marksmanship.
Oh, they were learning how to throw an axe. Oh, okay. I get it. Well, actually, that is an art. Handling an axe is important. You're going to survive.
No, that was just a metaphor. I do teach rifle and shotgun marksmanship.
All right, I got you. Well, yeah, well, I shoot quite a lot, and it is a talent. Yeah, I will say it's a talent. It's muscle memory. It's almost like swinging a golf club. You've got to be very, very consistent with your grip, your trigger pull, knowing your dominant eye, all those things, and understanding the mechanics of the weapon that you're using.
Oh, while you're down that rabbit hole, you want to discuss interior ballistics?
Well, I just know it from hunting. I mean, you know, my 308 throws a 150 grain to 180 grain. My 35 Remington is like a 230 to 200 grain. And I know one's going to go through the brush, and I know one's not going to go through the brush all that well. So, you know, it depends on where I'm hunting. That's what I'm going to use.
No, I'm talking about 42 grains of IMR 4895 under that 150 grain.
Oh, okay. Well, 22, right?
No, it's a 308 load. 42 grains of 4895 under a 150 grain projectile.
Okay, so you're referring to, like, reloading and all that.
Exactly.
I started reloading the 308. I haven't shot any of it yet.
going to take that out to Calverton and set that out. But I've reloaded the 35 Remington. I reload 45 ACP. I don't touch 9mm because it doesn't pay to do that. I do the old classic reloader. I don't have a machine or anything like that. And I do 357 and 38 special.
Yeah, so do I. I do 45, 38/357, not 9, because until the recent chaos, 9 was like dirt cheap. Why bother? But what I found is what reloading does is it gives you more familiarity. Does it save you money? Only if you allow yourself 15 cents an hour for your time. I do not trust the fancy machines. I'm just worried I'm going to end up with losing control of God knows what I get. I prefer to do them one at a time. And like I said, then that thought of saving money goes out the window. But you really do understand it. You get into it. Feel like you're in the driver's seat. Meanwhile, I was thinking about being in the driver's seat. I'm home. Maybe I should bring the ice cream in the house.
Yeah, well, at 88 degrees, yeah, I would say you better. All right, well, this is KD2FHI. Thank you for the QSO. And we'll continue this conversation. It's nice to speak to people who like similar things, especially like in shooting.
I like a lot of very strange things. It's not just that, but yeah, it does go over a pretty wide range. And as far as my comment to Lou, by the way, where he said he did a good deed and I wanted to tell him he gets a gold star, I figured if it's good enough, my granddaughter, why not?
There you go. He did his mitzvah for the day.
That's it. You nailed it. All right, with that, WB2EAV, melting ice cream mobile is clear.
All right, WB2EAV, this is KD2FHI. 73s, catch you later on down the log.
Fun fact, FCC requires you to get your call right, not necessarily mine. Bye.
Gotcha.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2.
Got out of work. I stayed to take care of my protege.
Yeah, I just got out of work too.
Are you going to the Lantern House meeting?
Yes, and I will try and stay awake. Long day too, both of us. I think you went in earlier than me, but I went in pretty early.
I got there, 7:15.
Yes, yeah, by an hour and a half.
Mr. George on lunchtime, he got another letter from the HOA and a threatening letter telling him to take down his antenna, the diamond, which I personally saw. It was not intrusive at all. You had to actually search for it. So now he's got a ladder line tucked underneath the vinyl siding, and he was talking on that. He was thrilled because, you know, he was getting out 2 meters. And he's got the lawyer chomping at the bit to go to town on the HOA now.
Yeah, I would say the antenna, that diamond, was on his deck, not visible. They're just singling him out. It sounds like the guy, you know how it is with those HOAs. It's like, I'm a loser in real life, but they gave me power, so let me do what I can do.
Oh, exactly. I think they got it in for him now, and they're just looking, you know, checking away, trying to find anything and everything that they can.
I told you that the factory where my wife works like that shares the driveway with the entrance to her, threatening to sue her for money. The company gives them a little something, but they want more. They got greedy. And in the end, what happens is like their lawyer is basically telling them, is, you know, stick it out. You've been kind all this time, but really, you don't have to pay them a penny. So, in other words, they had a decent amount of money. They didn't deserve anything, and tried to triple it, and now they're going to get nothing.
Good for them.
A lot of times these HOAs are just people that live there, and they vote by board who's going to get the power. It's like, come on. God forbid, if you put a plant, everybody votes.
Before, but they're showing, you know, somebody from an HOA management group cutting down people's mailboxes because it's 2 inches too high, and cutting down the hanging plants because they're not allowed, and because it's not my idea of fun. I'd never want to live in an HOA.
Yeah, there was the one recent drone that you're into people's backyards, and complain had in their backyard.
Oh, I didn't hear about that. Unbelievable.
So many people in Florida have them. I got the warm weather, but there are a lot of places with warm weather.
I'm getting depressed now. Summer is ending. Got to close the pool down. Got to look taken care of. Not happy with that.
Tell you anything about the boat?
I went and spoke to the marina owner yesterday, and he agreed that my season is over because, you know, they stopped service in October 9th, I think, and I still haven't even heard back from the, he's got a mechanic that's working on the motor, but he hasn't heard anything back yet. It's somewhere, I guess it's a subcontractor. And, you know, my intention is to leave it at the marina over the winter, which is, it's less work for me. I don't have to trailer it. I don't have to take the mast down. I'll let them pull it, put it up on blocks, and I'll take everything out of it that's in. I never even put the porta potty in this year, which, because my wife refuses to use it. And me and, you know, my friend Tim, who's usually there with me, hang it over the side. And that's it, you know. We never go out for a very long time, so the porta potty was overkill.
I would at least take that little one out and get some porta time.
I may yet do that, Mike. I really might. Because the little sailboat is really, it's so peaceful. And it's fast. I was really surprised because I could sail against the tide. The tide ripped in this one spot that I launched it last time, and I had no problem at all sailing against the tide, and you know, without a motor. You know, the motor is annoying, really.
That's it. Sometimes you just gotta get back to basics.
Well, you know, it's big. Sailing is big in Europe. You know, a lot of people learn to sail at a very early age and with no motors at all. You know. Not like that here.
That's it. That's your future plan. No more Florida. Live in a boat.
I wish. That would be nice. I don't know if my wife would be able to put up with it, but I would definitely be into it.
VDW, but when you think about it, though, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of maintenance.
Yeah, I think about it a lot, believe me. Boy, I'm not happy that winter is here.
I could totally see still burning it. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, I know my wife. If and when we retire, we're going to travel in the winter. I know her. I know it. She's a travel bug. But I don't know about another house. I said that, you know, I was talking to Mark, and we agreed. If you have the city home, like here, and then the country home, like Maine or Wyoming, someplace in the deep woods.
Yeah, you know, I used to think my wife was adventurous, but now I'm realizing she's scared of her own shadow.
Yeah, Yeah, I suppose she wouldn't want to hear it. You know, I was thinking Wyoming when I climbed the Grand Teton. I mean, the moose and the elk and the pikas and the, yeah, a lot of noises, but it's beautiful. It's beautiful, beautiful at night. I mean, it's just, the sky is all white, filled with stars.
That I was looking at the sky the other night. You can only see 6 stars. You know, we have so much light pollution. And, you know, I remember, you know, as a Boy Scout, here on Long Island, I could see the Milky Way and you know, all the stars and everything. It was much more rural when I grew up.
Yeah, I think I remember that. I remember growing up in the, I don't remember how old when they started to build the Mastic. My friend's sister was now a Mastic. It's just the same, the city moves out. You know how it is.
KD2 UDU. KD2 UDU. I'm sorry. What was your call sign?
Houston Delta 2, Whiskey Tango Uniform. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Noon. Good afternoon. Is it Steve? I'm not sure. That call sign's familiar.
Sir, that's correct. This is Steve. I'm on my way to Eisenhower Park. How are you guys doing?
Mike, KD2VDW is out there. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I just got out of work too. Changed my clothes in a parking lot. Life's good. On my way to the park. Running late because a customer needed to have that answer. It wouldn't take no for it.
KDWIX.
Go Vic.
Oh, I was going to say, hey, yeah, I'm also driving right now. Going to the park, so I'll see you guys there soon.
Please, Vic, you will not be seeing me. I'm just...